We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Back to the Belichick team building calls in just a second. As the social media feeds keep popping by, Fitzy, lots of teams resting significant players tomorrow in the NFL. It's going to be an S show for half of these games. First of all, the Browns have a COVID issue, but the Steelers aren't playing anybody.
Nope.
There's a bunch of games that matter, too. I mean, a lot of these teams, Ravens, Browns, Dolphins, Colts, all need to win. Colts need to win and get help to get in. Six NFC teams for the final three spots there. Arizona Rams is basically a playoff game.
Okay, so the Rams are starting John Wolford. Say it with me, John Wolford. Kyler Murray is banged up. You know that there's no running backs. No, none. You heard right. No running backs. Thank God it's not your fantasy championship. Alvin Kamara scoring six touchdowns for you last week. You're welcome. Teams left and right. Minnesota's elevating random dudes off the practice squad. Granted, they're playing Detroit. Tomorrow night. Have you seen how many guys are banged up and probably not going to play for the Eagles who are eliminated from winning the NFC least?
No.
Half of their starting offense and defense is listed as DNP this week.
And they're going for a top five pick at this point.
But, I mean, the quality of football you are going to get on the final Sunday of full regular season NFL action is going to be ridiculous.
So Washington is going to basically get a... Because Washington plays Philly. That's the night game. So Washington wins. They're in. They win the division.
But they're not going to necessarily win because if Alex Smith, who's had that calf injury...
You just said Philly had no running backs.
It doesn't matter. No, no. The Saints have no running backs. Oh, Philadelphia has half no defense and half no, of no
okay,
offense.
Fine. So Washington's going to lose?
They're going to start like Taylor Heinicke.
Okay, but...
Taylor Heinicke.
Sounds
no
good.
No Alex Smith.
I mean, Washington will win the division, and that's Brady's first-round opponent. You're going to watch Brady mop up the WFT in round one. That's what's going to happen.
WFT.
And you're going to, I mean, I'm going to be rooting for Washington. I don't know about you.
Oh, if Chase, like, Young, if Chase Young gives Brady the business, I'm not going to say that I don't love it, but I've softened a little bit on my Brady stance the last few weeks.
The whole season is going to come down to Brady at Packers, second round. That'll be the matchup because coming off the bye, Packers
get
the bye, I think.
And they'll like Brady will likely be with Tampa. They'll likely
yep.
be
they'll be the last the lower
best,
seed
lowest
remaining.
Seed. I mean, you got to admit for mid January football, Brady at Rodgers in the divisional round,
a good game.
That's what Saturday nights are made for. Buddy.
And if Brady wins that game, he'll get enough praise that the whole season was worth it. Everything was worth it. He made the right call.
Then they'll go out to Seattle, and Seattle will spit the bit.
Oh, you think Seattle's in the title game over the Saints?
Yeah.
Seattle's defense, I don't know. Could be.
Oh, Seattle's defense. I'm not with Jamal Adams, who says, like, we're the best defense in the NFL. Like, all right, pump the brakes, guy. Are they markedly better? For sure.
All right, back to the Patriots rebuild. Stephen Fall River is, of course, we know, for the record of the mindset, it's about the quarterback. So Bill needs one of those, Steve.
That's of his calls.
That's understood.
Isn't everybody there yet?
What?
Isn't everybody there yet? I mean, hello. You got to be there.
Okay, so how does Belichick rebuild? Can he rebuild?
No, he's not the rebuilder because he's just not. You look at the last 5 years, 15 to 20 have been the second worst or possibly the worst five-year stretch. The last five-year stretch that was this bad was 85 to 90, which led them to the rebuild that we're currently still living off of, which is the rebuild that Parcells made and Bob Kraft bought into. Bob Kraft's had the fortune of having a quarterback since he's owned the team. He said he went from Drew Bledsoe to Tom Brady. He knows it's all about the quarterback. Guess what? There's only 15 quarterbacks that anybody really wants in the league, and only out of those 15, seven of them give you a chance to win a Super Bowl. I mean, the AFC East since 2000, the AFC since 2003 has had Brady, Roethlisberger, or Peyton Manning represent them, except for one, now Mahomes the last couple of years. But from 2003 to 15, it was three quarterbacks that represented them, except for Joe Flacco. If you go back to 2001, you add Rich Gannon in. But it was still Brady. There's only a handful of quarterbacks, again, this year, that you're going to say are going to lead their team to the division. Right. So it is about the quarterback. Belichick's now had a bunch of seasons without Tom Brady, and I'm sorry, he's 6 or 7 or 8 games below 500. So now you have to say to yourself, besides those 5 bad years of drafting, this is not a one-off year. It took 5 years to get this bad. Your cupboards don't get bare in one-off season. You're not opting out of Patrick Chung and going down like this, or even Hightower or these other clowns that opted out. This took years of missteps. I heard you discussing it a little earlier. How he's had 20 drafts, not one of them measures up to the rebuild drafts of 93 to 96, which I never hear anybody go over. All I ever hear ad nauseum is the Chandler Jones Hightower draft, which is a good, probably one of his better drafts, but doesn't even compare to the 93 to 96 drafts, which got you those first three Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Integral to the first three Super Bowls, by the way, 93 to 96 got you Super Bowls in 01 to 04. Okay? And he's had 20 of them. One of them's been as good as, not even as good as those three. So his next four are going to be his best four ever. Out of all the drafts he's ever participated in, well, he's going to have the best four of his career.
But if you, you would agree, if he hits the quarterback, that's pretty much
that's why I said they need to be, because if they aren't, then he's screwed. And he's the only one to blame. He's put himself in this position.
There's already been five. Where will you get? What about the trend? What about the what have you done for me lately? When you have to lurch back 20 years, 6 Super Bowls, blah, blah, or how about that 13 draft? It's 2021.
Yeah, hello? I know.
Eight years and tell me that you're building a case for this guy from 8 years ago. It is the last 5, not one-offs, 5. He's lucky if he's got anybody that can play. I just want to say one more thing. I keep hearing these stats about how bad he is. Now they were very low in targeting the tight end. They were at 7% this year. What I'd love to hear is who was the next lowest. Just like what that's the key. Who's the next lowest? How far away are we from the next worst guy? They had the thing on Fox with the receivers. Remember the Fox video with the receivers since 2010?
Mm-hmm.
And we had 170. Imagine that. In 10 years, we have 170 catches from the rook from drafted guys. 170. The Stephon Diggs, one guy, one season, has that much. I needed context. I needed to know who the next guy was.
See, now you're making Cam Newton's. Guy. Now you're building Cam Newton's excuse.
No, I'm not
base.
Building. No, this is Cam Newton's 1 year. This was 10 years. 170 catches in 10 years, at least at the time they put the graph up. I want to say one more thing, and please let me say it. My last game as a season ticket holder was 2011. I went with my son. He sit right here next to me. I hear on the pregame show, oh, the Patriots have 43 different starters on defense this year. They're in the top 5. The next worst to be in that group had 23. They were 20 over. They were 20 more in 2011 had starters, and then Jonathan Kraft comes on and says, instead of saying, gee, we're never going to let this happen again, oh, we did great. We were pulling guys off the street to play in big division games, and I said to myself, man, I am so glad I'm out of here now. That's how bad they were. They were 20 over the next guy.
Well, Steve, you missed out on getting – you didn't get the book, The Dynasty. I mean,
where's his copy?
You missed the copy. You got to read that. Kelly in Amherst, I think, has a differing view on that. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I've called them out before. For the last, 5 years, Steve hasn't even called the station because Belichick has just been impeccable. If you want to get on him for the draft, he's the first of many guys you could get on for having bad draft picks. Mm-hmm. But being a GM is a lot more than just drafting. Belichick is the greatest GM of all time. Now, I don't know if he's the greatest coach of all time. I used to think he was, but this year it's looked a little sketchy. One thing I'll agree with Steve is this. I don't know who's not coming over to his side about the quarterback, because I sure am. Because at the beginning of this year, I said, oh, Belichick's going to figure it out. He's going to coach these guys up. And I was wrong, man. So I'll admit that I was wrong. But for him to say that in the last five years, they won 2 freaking Super Bowls. Oh, my God. Steve's an idiot.
I mean, there's a happy medium. I think Belichick's recent drafts are not the worst. They didn't get a star. That's the problem. Like, Duggar showed some promise.
Mm-hmm.
Winovich every now and then flashes, but none of those guys seem like used the term foundational player last week or whatever. We've gone over this. I mean,
are these pillars?
Right, like there's guys.
But here, I did a little bit with
J.C. Jackson was undrafted. Mm-hmm. Does that count? Like if he pulls,
well, that's where they say Caserio seems to pull off his magic. He's the guy who finds all these diamonds in the undrafted rough.
Great, let him come in after the draft's over and get to work.
Maybe he could take over the draft. We did this little exercise. I borrowed it from one of your favorite Pat's blogs, Pat's Pulpit. It was, okay, pretend there's an expansion draft. Protect 10 Patriots players. It's not easy to get to 10.
Slater, the punter.
Yeah, everyone goes punter first.
Nick Folk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got big kick, Nick. You're going to protect the field goal kicker too? Okay.
It's good. It's a great point.
Jacoby Myers, Damian Harris, Mike Onwenu, Kyle Duggar.
Right.
And then it starts to get like, don't think about free agents. J.C. Jackson, okay.
Although Jackson, what did you come away thinking of him? He got a chance to shine in prime time. He got scarred.
He got humbled.
And that's supposed to be like, thought their belt
finger wet, yeah.
That's the next Gilmore? Not sure.
Good. Maybe he shines like a one when a legitimate one is in there and he gets to be a two. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. John in Cambridge up next on the Laird and Fitzy Spectacular. Hello, John.
Hi, I'm calling to talk about a completely different thing, and that is the sad news that Floyd Little died. I grew up a Broncos fan in Colorado and had the opportunity to meet Floyd Little when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and never forgot it. He was a rock solid player and
Syracuse guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. His number was 44. It was Little up the middle. We lost to the Raiders every year, and he made my life. You know, it was just, he was the greatest. So I just wanted to say that quickly because I've been in Boston since 1986, but you know, we only had the Broncos. We had a minor league baseball team, and we had the ABA Nuggets. So there's a lot of, and the Patriots, we could always whip every year. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
John, as a Bronco, as a life, I appreciate the sentiment shared about Floyd Little, who was an all-time great and definitely a Broncos Ring of Famer, as well as an actual NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer. So you know what it's like to be on, you rooted for a franchise that's on top of the mountain. And then you watch how long it takes because after you win 2 Super Bowls with Elway, you get greasy and then you think, hey, we got this. We can rebuild. There's going to be no tumultuous transition. We're right on to the next one. And then it's years and years before you can even get back to the playoffs, let alone back to the top of the mountain like it was 15 years later with Peyton.
Exactly. Because, you know, you had Elway directing the show. So you figure, I remember Elway's first game where he lined up behind the guard instead of the center to take the snap. And we thought after Elway, I also remember the horrible years of the Broncos when, you know, like they got creamed in the Super Bowl by the Dallas Cowboys. Then they had all the success after I came here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a Patriots fan, so I want to see that some way of rebuilding and making this Patriots team into, you know, I thought Cam was going to be it too. Maybe turn him into a running back.
Well, I got the answer, John. It is Jimmy G. That is your best bet. The hope. That is the future. Although Bridget, the producer, was like disparaging Jimmy G during the break. It was, God, she was merciless.
Did he spill a drink on you or something?
Yeah, really? What the hell? And appeared, by the way, in a picture with Greg Hill in South Beach, on South Beach, recently.
Is that where it was?
I think this is doomed. Possible. I think this is possible. The Jimmy G reunion.
Jimmy is doomed.
Which Mike in Pittsfield, I think, agrees with me on. Mike?
The old conspiracy Ken.
Yes, sir.
The Ken-spiracist.
Conspiracy Ken back in the saddle with the Jimmy G. I can't believe it. I don't know if the producer teed up, but that's what I'm calling about.
Yes.
You and your Jimmy G obsession. I don't know where you think Belichick is going to sign Jimmy G after the couple of years he's had in San Francisco. It blows my mind where you think that's going to happen. And also, last thing, and officially, so I don't have anything for you today, but for Ken, I'll never forget how you broke Kirk Minahan's heart.
Well, not true. Inaccurate information. Inaccurate. But fine. You want to take a shot. But Jimmy G is injury prone. Was Gronk injury prone coming out of college?
Yes.
Okay. Did they take Gronk? Are there times where
sure
you take an injury? Sometimes that's the perfect thing. An injury clouds judgment of the current team,
mm-hmm.
gets them to fall down the draft board, whatever in the case may be. Garoppolo could come here and succeed. Well, who's to say he's going to be injury prone the rest of his life?
Who's to say Belichick isn't thinking like, come back to daddy. Daddy knows how to take care of you. I got you. Come on,
exactly.
Jimmy.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, I'll teach you how to fall. We'll keep you durable. We'll put you in the right position. Quick release, short passes. This is what Belichick wanted. Why wouldn't Bill Belichick, if he has a chance to not have to spend draft equity, if he knows there's a good chance he's going to get released, take him, draft a quarterback. Now you're building a real room. Hell, bring Brissett back and get the Wolfpack together again.
Now, I will admit the news coming out of San Francisco where Kyle Shanahan said he believes he'll be a starter again, and then John Lynch said Jimmy is our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's somewhat of an endorsement, but you know, those things never last.
Let's see when they enact that like $28 million bonus and don't just give them the $2.8 million thank you card.
And San Francisco, by the way, they're picking 15th right now. They play Seattle tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Seattle's going for the bye, so they'll probably lose that game. So the Patriots need to lose to stay ahead of San Francisco in the draft order, which could be huge.
Could be huge
if a quarterback drops.
Can you imagine
that
there's a way that this draft could shake out where a Zach Wilson could be available to them between 9 and 13, and if that happens, then I'm going 6 to midnight.
Let's go to Matt in the Matt in the car says he's a fan of you. It's probably not a good call, but okay, Matt in the car,
definitely going to be a bad call.
Hello,
are
Matt.
You kidding me? What's when are we bringing back Sox Appeal?
I wasn't even on Sox Appeal, but I appreciate you, Matt.
When are we bringing that back?
I don't know. I'll call
that game. What?
My game was called Pocket Money. It's Chris Curtis's favorite show. He's got every episode saved on his DVR.
Pocket Money on Nesson, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other comedian, Jimmy Dunn. He was on Sox Appeal. How could I forget?
Yeah,
hey,
Jimmy's my guy.
Lots of stuff on Saturday afternoons. Quick here.
Okay.
Why are we trying to run out the greatest coach of all time out of this town?
I don't think anyone's trying to run Belichick out of town.
You've had a few. You've had a few that think he's not up for the challenge.
Yeah, no, there's a. I don't think we are, but we're surprised. See, I'll tell you why, Matt. I'll tell you exactly why. Because of the Brady thing. If Tom Brady had retired and Bill Belichick stayed on and the year went 6-10, people would say, hey, that's what's going to happen when you lose the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
But the way last year went,
people blame Bill for the divorce.
Correct. A lot of people blame Bill for the divorce. Plus, honestly, like the fact that they only scored a touchdown over the past four games. Touchdown.
At this point, that's a good thing.
Not a selling point.
Keep losing. All right. Hot Chara take coming up, though. That'll keep you listening.
There we go.
I think we have a trending now. By the way, you were in love with this Indiana team.
I was this kid
losing to Ole Miss. What
I don't even think he's even. I don't think he's even in the game anymore. Do you know how many guys, because of the bowls this year, being, a COVID mess, not counting obviously so many of the games taking place after the semifinals of the college football championship, so many of these guys that matter are opting out of the bowl games.
Right.
And then what's happening is like Kyle Trask, who many think is a first-round quarterback prospect.
He looked terrible in that game.
He looked awful. He got pulled because he had
nobody around him.
All of his top receiving targets were out.
Great point. Curtis was mocking Belichick during that game, that Trask was flying up Belichick's draft board as the picks went by. Another cheap shot. Might be accurate. Let's get through the news, shall we?
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Two ball games in action right now. And by the way, this set trending now brought to you by Northeast Men's Health with locations in Salem, New Hampshire, and in Dedham, next to Legacy Place. Kentucky beating NC State right now, 23-14. That's late in the fourth. And Indiana right now down to Ole Miss, 20-13. We will have Oregon, Iowa State coming up at 4. That's the Fiesta Bowl. And then tonight, Texas A&M, who was jilted, left out. Looks like a terrible decision to put Notre Dame in ahead of them.
That game was over 7-0 yesterday.
Brutal. A&M, North Carolina tonight at 8. We'll have that, the Orange Bowl. And Notre Dame coach, what's his name?
Brian Kelly.
Yeah, Brian Kelly, getting snooty yesterday. That little snark. He was asked about, one of the reporters said, congratulations on a great season. Oh, the local media never says that to us. I wish we could put that to our local fans.
Yesterday, not necessarily a banner day for the upper echelon of college football coaches. You have Nick Saban at halftime like, what? I can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Right.
And then you got, Dabo just looking like a fool because he ranked Ohio State 11th and got pantsed on national TV by them.
Here's Brian Kelly whining.
Coach, congratulations on a successful season.
Well, that would be nice if our local people would have felt that way, but they don't use any of those kinds of terms. This is always about, where our program needs to go. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
There you go. It's the Belichick.
Salty Saturday. Jeez.
These guys are paid so much money. It just gets out of, they lose perspective
on the
whole thing.
They get $10 million a year.
Right. Celtics drop another one last night. Frustrating in Detroit, 96-93. Terrible start. And they came back and then missed their final 11. Count them, 11
shots. Was it
11?
Shots. I thought it was 14. It was 11.
11
shots
in the last 4 minutes. How is that possible?
Well, you shoot the basketball.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Pats tomorrow with the Jets. They're out. David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Damian Harris, maybe more. 16 players questionable. Browns closed facility, another COVID coach. And Fitzy laid out a bunch of other teams that have issues, including no running backs with the Saints, and the Eagles have half their team out. Otherwise, the NFL marches on in week 17. It's Laird and Fitzy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
Well, again, I respect the way it was communicated to me, Kevin. Like I said, we had number of conversations. Early on, it was probably a little bit unknown what I'd been told what the role would be. But as the conversations progress towards the end, I was pretty, it was very clear to me that I would not be in a starting lineup for the season or starting, some games or playing some back-to-back games. And I would be more in a kind of reserve kind of a type of player. So,
well, that's Zdeno Chara in his introductory press conference with the Washington Capitals. He signed a one-year deal for $750K. So before the end of last year, he joined Mookie Betts and Tom Brady as future Hall of Famers to depart this very region. This is Laird and Fitzy on Sports Radio WEEI. Obviously, Chara coming off a postseason that was bad. I wouldn't say it was putrid, but he was exposed from time to time.
Sluggish.
His role here, according to Don Sweeney, and you heard Chara talk about it there, was going to be basically they were not going to use him on back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to spot him here and there, which would have been perfect, actually, if he would have agreed to it.
Wouldn't that have made all the sense in the world?
Totally, totally. Now, maybe not from his point of view. I mean, I guess, that's embarrassing if you're a guy that's played at that level.
I don't think so.
He's been playing 20 minutes a night for a lot of years.
I know, and it's a little bit too much. And the guy, what is he, 42?
He's going to be 44.
He's 44?
In March, he'll be 44.
Have mercy.
Wiggy trashes him and has for the last couple of years. I think he's been useful. And obviously, there were enough teams interested, including, as you brought up, the Canadians were kicking the tires on him.
I can't believe the Canadians. Yeah, here's it right here. The Renaud Lavoie told the Canadians were trying to sign Zdeno Chara. He liked the way the team was built, but because of some COVID-19 issues, his family will stay in Boston during the season. So he's going to go play in Washington, but the family stays here.
Yeah, and bottom line is it's the right call. Like if you're choosing between you got to sign me and I demand to play every night and let him go, I think they made the right decision. They have a lot of young guys. They got Jeremy Lauzon, who played pretty well last year. Jakub Zboril, they have to either play or he's sent down. Like they have to make a choice on him.
Okay,
so he's going to have to be up here. Juro Vaakanainen, John Moore, they have on a 3-year contract. Connor Clifton's a young guy. They have a bunch of young guys. At some point, they need to find out about it. And he would have been like ideal as maybe a seventh defenseman or a PK guy. He's definitely
The PK for sure.
Yeah.
This question is: what do the Bruins, while they're still sort of in that window that everyone thinks is the competing for a cup window, while you've got, while you got Krejci, while you got Bergeron, now with Pasta ascending and maybe the final year of Tuca.
Yeah.
Did the Bruins cost themselves a chance to not having their best penalty killer, not finding a way to convince Char to take a role there, and then maybe seeing what they have in these guys as opposed to going with a dependable power killer like him?
Their philosophy has been kind of Celtics-like to me in the last 10 to 15 years. They have not viewed it as we have a window to compete, even though you're right about a lot of those guys. They're going to be coming to the end of the line.
Yeah.
You got to give them credit. The Bruins have done a great job of staying mostly relevant other than that 2 or 3 year blip in the mid-2010s, where after the Cup, they had a couple years, they missed the playoffs, fine. They haven't bottomed out. They've been pretty consistently...
They're consistently competitive.
Competitive.
Right.
And I don't think they believe...
Celtics are a good comp, yeah.
I think they believe when Tuca's gone, and even Bergeron, they're going to be able to replace these guys. And so they're moving on with the young talent, like assuming they're going to compete again for the next 5 years. So it's hard to knock that. But then again, I know it's hypocritical because I'm tough on the Celtics. A lot of people are who want to see more than one title in town.
Well,
see Danny go for it.
Yeah, they think that with all the moves that he made and the way he fleeced Brooklyn and the talent they have here and all the top draft picks, like, shouldn't they be in the NBA Finals more than zero times over the last 5 years?
People want to see them go Dave Dombrowski and just trade everybody and go for it.
A.K.A.
They
James
win a championship.
Harden.
But, I mean, if I'm a Bruins fan, I just look at this in a bubble. This is the right call for the organization. Like, Chara is not an every night player, a 20-minute night guy anymore, schedule.
This isn't... See, the funny thing is that everybody overreacted because of Tom Brady, and that's you trade Mookie in his prime, you still get some assets back. Obviously, it's probably 70 cents, maybe 60 cents on the dollar.
Right.
Brady leaves, you get absolutely nothing, and now he's playing great, having one of the five best years of his life, but of course, he's on a very talented team with a lot of assets and weaponry. So Chara leaves, and he's one of the all-time great Bruins, still only one cup, but been great every year pretty much, and they've gone to several more Stanley Cup finals, and everyone thinks, oh God, Chara, no, like he's probably going to play one meaningless year with the Capitals. Now maybe
if he wins the cup, great. I don't think the Bruins fans are that salty about it.
If the Capitals beat the Bruins in the playoffs, yes.
Well, okay, that's an interesting scenario, which could happen. They're in the same division, which is also bizarre.
This is not 2013 Zdeno Chara that left.
No, if Brady wins, it'll be a big deal. That is going to be
And Gronk and AB catch touchdowns in the game.
Right. But if Char is not the same category, if the Capitals win, if I'm a Bruins fan, I'm totally fine with that. It's just
as long as you believe that the team is trending in the right direction, needles pointing the right way. That's why people not that everything circles back to Belichick and the Patriots, but also everything circles back Belichick and Patriots. That's at the crux of people's frustrations with them right now.
Right.
They don't know what the direction is.
Right.
And then whenever you ask a question about the direction, Bill pauses, snarls at you, does his famous Belichick noises, or just won't do anything, and he's sarcastic.
Speaking of which, on Cam, here's Brady in Hanover. What's up, Brady?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
All right, and you?
I'm just here to talk about all the Cam slander going on, all these people saying that we have better options next year. But we really don't, if you think about it. What do you guys think on that?
no better options than Cam?
Who do you think? Give me a person that you think would be a better option than Cam Newton.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick. At this point, he's playing in Miami and they want him to mentor Tua, you don't think they're going to re-sign him?
That's up to him, though. If he likes Miami enough and is willing to take a backup role versus another team that offers him comparable money and says you can start, why not?
You think that we'll offer him like a long contract or 1 year if we do take him?
Fitzpatrick would be a 1-2 year deal tops wherever he goes. Wherever he goes.
If anything, I say he is more towards the end of his career than Cam himself. Fitzpatrick is old. Okay, he's just
he is. But Cam, I wish I could tell you, Brady. I wish I could tell everybody whether or not Cam Newton is a product of his injuries and the toll playing has taken on him, or if it's just like what Belichick and he hinted at this year, that just this past week, in fact, that they wished he got a chance to spend more time in the system, but signing in the end of June and only having 2 months of virtual training camp, and then voila, it's football time. They literally relied on his old tricks and his physical skills to start the season, and then when it came time to game plan, it was like, I don't know the offense that well. Also, I had COVID. Who am I throwing it to?
And if you heard Cam this week, here's his answer to the last question.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about, I knocked this off my bucket list. This answer pretty much revealed to me he's gone. It was a 1 year experiment. They're saying thank you at the end of the year. Here's Newton this week.
Yeah, through it all, man, I ain't gonna complain. I won't complain. I'm just gonna have fun. Been having fun. And just love on the guys, you know, while I can. And, man, I just appreciate it. I can definitely knock this off my bucket list to a degree, man. But at the same time, I'm yearning for more. You know, any competitor, I think, you know, Bill said, you know, will show up on Sunday. And that's what I expect to do. But yet, through it all, you know, this year has taught me so much about myself. It was almost like, you know, going up under the hood for me, you know, working on my attitude, working on my patience, working on my faith, working on, you know, the resilient side of you. You know, what are you going to do when things aren't, you know, so good? When are we going to, you know, tackle your family, tackle your health, tackle your success? Can you still do it? Can you throw? Can you run? Right? And how are you going to respond to it? So, you know, through it all, man, it's always a challenge. I'm always a person that's trying to get better, and I will continually have that same mentality, and I look forward to it. And it's some okay guys in this locker room that I plan on still, you know, having connections with. And, yeah, there you go.
Oh, I mean, gone. That's goodbye.
It. That's it.
Gone, baby, gone. Gone,
I'll keep in touch with
Fare thee well, Ski.
Yeah.
Finito, benito, sayonara, Cameron. His dad said he was coming here. Like, it was a business. His dad told him again, just like when he went to that junior college, this was a business trip.
And he will blame the lack of weapons here in the offseason privately, probably not publicly.
I don't think he'll do it publicly because, again, this goes back to that little unspoken tacit agreement that a buddy of mine called in a few weeks ago about. Belichick is starting him, giving him the best chance possible to audition for another team, to make all those incentives, and showcase himself. At the same time, Cam Newton should be telling people, like, go play for Hoodie B. Dollar Bill is the right guy. It's fun. He knows more about football. I just wish I had a chance to learn more from him. It's not the perfect fit, but I'm telling you, I'm going to try to, like, it's a restoring a little bit of the fun factor, the luster in Foxborough.
But can you see Cam starting somewhere else? Will another team give him that?
One other team.
Will.
One team might.
Who?
I didn't think that Cincinnati 1 year deal was the craziest thing I'd ever heard.
Oh, until Burrow's back?
Yeah, Riverboat Ron won't take him in Washington, but they do need to address the quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. Until Burrow comes back, a little $10 million placeholder.
Okay. Man, I could see that. And you want Fitzpatrick and a young guy.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Like, if you got Zach Wilson, whatever, you wouldn't start him right away. You need somebody to groom him in.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think they're going to have three or four bodies in here. You might get, like, Jameis and
let's have an open patch. Fine.
Sign, like,
fight to the death.
$1 million quarterback.
QB Island. only one emerges. Do it.
Might as well. What the hell? All right, final thoughts on Laird and Fitzy.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
COVID lists continue to pile up. The Steelers are going to be without Joe Hayden, Eric Ebron, their tight end, linebacker Cassius Martin. Half the team's not playing tomorrow, but that's good news for the Browns. But the Browns haven't practiced all week because they have they have an outbreak in their facility. So somebody's got to win that. And CBS lost Romo to COVID protocol.
Oh, Jim!
So it's Nance and Boomer tomorrow. Our guy Boomer is on the call for Arizona Rams.
Boomer!
Beautiful.
I have some fun stories to tell you for telling the re-entry for the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah.
Big show Monday,
big show.
Boomer.
And
maybe Cam.
And Cam's farewell. And the return of Greg from South Beach.
And then, of course, on Dale and Keith with Fitzy Monday, we'll have nobody.
Well, you never know. Lawrence Guy may check in for surprise.
I mean, that would be a courtesy move because I don't believe they're contractually obligated
anymore.
That's
great. We got the, what's up next? The Fiesta Bowl.
Yes.
Beautiful. We're joining Fiesta Bowl coverage. Good to see you back.
You too, my friend.
We're off next week?
Yes, we are.
Back in 2 weeks.
Because it's Wild Card Saturday. Tomorrow, Jets 23, Patriots 17.
16-15 Jets. Folk misses a kick to lose.
Not big kick, Nick.
Yeah, well, they're going to tell him to miss it on purpose. See you later.